Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? You are listening to the December 1st, 2019 episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show. I am your host, James Bell, lead boxing analyst for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. You can catch boxing articles and more on thechconsports.com. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the one key to get on cue. You'll be able to talk on the show. We are going to go through a few things here. In this particular episode, as we had a fight card that was over in the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas that had featured two fights in the super featherweight division that kind of shaped things as far as like the top half or so of the super featherweight division. So we're going to be going through those particular fights. And also, we will be previewing the fight card that will be held at Riyadh, Saudi Arabia on December 7th, headlined by the Unified Heavyweight Championship fight between Andy Ruiz Jr. and Anthony Joshua. So we will be getting into that in this particular podcast. But we will start off with what happened over in Las Vegas. As we had two key fights that went down. First in the co-feature bout, you had former two-division world champion Carl Frampton, pretty much stepping in the ring there after a long layoff. He had been off for a good little while. He did have a title fight that was up against Josh Warrington, but he was unsuccessful in that title fight. And had to deal with a couple of injuries, over the course of the year before he was able to get back into the ring. And he was able to get into the ring against Tyler McCreary here at Las Vegas, and he was, able to get through this bout against Tyler McCreary that was, coming into the bout unbeaten with a record of 16 wins, 0 losses, and 1 draw. He hadn't fought a guy to the level of Carl Frampton in that super featherweight division. You did have Frampton, being a former super bantamweight champion and also being a former featherweight champion coming up to super featherweight with, hopes of, maybe later on fighting for a super featherweight championship so that he could possibly be a three-division champion. So he was able to get himself geared in for this particular fight against Tyler McCreary, and was able to execute his game plan very well, use his ring savvy, ring experience that he's had in big fights and title fights where, you know, Tyler McCreary just didn't have that experience on his side. And McCreary suffered two knockdowns in this particular bout, once in the sixth and once in the ninth. And he suffered his first loss of his career through, you know, basically a shutout decision loss. 100-88 in the 10-round bout for Carl Frampton. He was able to improve his record to 27 wins and 2 losses. And, you know, he, you know, got through this particular fight while dealing with issues with his hand. He had fractured his hand before camp, but, you know, wanted to see if he could work his way through it, get into this bout with Tyler McCreary, because if he was able to get the win over McCreary, that it could set him up for a title shot later on down the line. And he was able to, you know, do that, you know, targeting the body of McCreary, wearing him down over the course of the 10 rounds for him to, you know, get a potential bout with a world champion. Now, you did have WBO super featherweight champion and previous guest on the Boxing Source radio show, Jamel Herring, there in attendance, and they were, you know, kind of like making it so that they would potentially have Frampton and Herring facing each other in 2020 for that WBO super featherweight championship. Both Herring and Frampton were in the ring after the particular fight, pretty much giving that inkling that they will face each other later on down the line. And it will be, you know, an opportunity for Frampton to try to win a title in the world title in the third weight division. But it's going to be a very, very tall order, to say the least, as Jamel Herring is the bigger guy, much longer guy, and, you know, was a very crafty, you know, a very crafty boxer, as, you know, he was able to show that last month in his win over Lamont Roach Jr. when he retained that WBO super featherweight championship. So that's something that Frampton is going to have to deal with if they are able to put this fight together. Now, you had Herring says that he will be ready to fight Carl Frampton wherever, whenever. So, and he says that it shouldn't be much of a problem to get that fight put together. It's just that, you know, they got to get the numbers right for that fight to happen, particularly if they're trying to get that fight to be over in Belfast. There's been talk that it could potentially be over in Belfast, or it could be in New York City for, you know, the St. Patrick's Day weekend there in 2020. But we got to see what happens with that. Maybe that could be for Saturday, March 14th or March 21st. And if Carl Frampton is able to rest himself before, you know, he should be able to rest himself with his hands to see if he'll be able to get back into the ring and fight for that WBO super featherweight championship. But for the time being, Frampton is, you know, enjoying this shutout win that he had over Tyler McCreary Like I said, he moves his record up to 27 wins and 2 losses. Those losses being to Leo Santa Cruz and to Josh Warrington, both world title fights. So he's had a lot of that world title experience behind him, but those were in the lower weight classes. He hasn't had that world title fight there in the super featherweight division, but he would against Jermell Herring, and I kind of see, early indications, I see, Jermell Herring being able to, outbox Frampton. But when that fight is official, we'll be able to get into that particular fight more in depth and, maybe get Jermell Herring back on the Boxing Source to talk about that fight when it does become official. Now, also, we had in the main event Oscar Valdez, the former WBO featherweight champion, moving up to the super featherweight division to fight Adam Lopez. Now, Adam Lopez was a replacement opponent for Oscar Valdez, as on Friday when they had, it was supposed to be Oscar Valdez versus Andres Gutierrez. Valdez was able to make weight, but Gutierrez missed weight by 11 pounds. And this is supposed to be a super featherweight bout, and Andres Gutierrez missed weight so bad that he wouldn't have even made weight if this was a fight in the super lightweight division. He wouldn't have made weight then. So that kind of like showed a little bit of unprofessionalism, and that they had to scrap, Gutierrez out for that particular bout. The replacement was Adam Lopez, who had, fluctuated between the featherweight and super featherweight and super bantamweight divisions, but was able to be in there for this particular bout and gave a very good effort against the former featherweight champion. Was able to score a knockdown in the second round, scored some, good counter shots, was able to time Oscar Valdez well, was showboating a little bit. But then in the seventh round, he got, caught with a left hook that knocked him back to the ropes and then put him down on one knee. He was able to get up from that count. But then near the end of that seventh round, you had Oscar Valdez throwing a combination that forced the referee, Russell Mora, to stop the bout near the end of that particular round. So Valdez got that victory and was able to stay undefeated at 27-0. So that was a fairly bad stoppage. It could have, let that thing go to the end of the seventh round and then go to the eighth to see, what Adam Lopez could do, but nah, they wanted to, make sure that, your boy Oscar Valdez could get there and get through with that win to set up a bout between him and the WBC super featherweight champion Miguel Burchelt, who did step in the ring after that bout was over. So that was a quick synopsis of those two fights that happened that were on ESPN's telecast. Got a caller in here from the 646. What's going on? You're on the Boxing Source Radio Show.
Yo, JR, what's good, man?
Hey, man. Hey, you all good from the from the weekend and everything like that, man. Seeing what went down as far as like the extended weekend and being able to drink to your heart's desire.
I'm still a little tipsy, JR. I got to tell you, I'm still a little sauce. Okay, I've been listening into the show, and I got to tell you, I don't give a fuck what you talk about. Let's talk about Anthony Johnson versus Andrew Ruiz part two. Come on, man. You talking about Oscar Valdez? I told you a year ago I don't give a fuck about Oscar Valdez. You think I want to talk about him now? Man, who gives a fuck about Oscar Valdez? Man, this is Saudi Arabia week, baby.
No, Oscar Valdez is the one who ducked Shakur Stevenson and would defend that WBO featherweight title.
So. I don't give a damn. Who cares about Oscar Valdez? I'm listening. I'm like, I know this motherfucker not taking 15 minutes to talk about Oscar Valdez. Listen, you are a true blue professional, man. Because I could not sit there and talk about that for 15 minutes when we got Ruiz versus Joshua 2 coming up, man. You are a professional.
I got to do it, man. I got to do it. But, yo, let's get into this thing, man. We know what it's all about. It's about we coming through. Andrew Ruiz Jr., Anthony Joshua, heavyweight championship of the world Saudi Arabia, where you can't even see the faces of women.
Hey, listen, you know they kill reporters. Don't talk crazy. You know they kill reporters,
I'll put it to you like this. Look. I want every one of them to be safe throughout that whole week. I know a couple of them. I've seen that they posted pics that they were already there in Saudi Arabia. I know that one certain female reporter has already got that outfit on without the mask. So
yeah.
So hopefully everything goes good.
I saw somebody tell her we're looking forward to seeing your coverage, and they was talking about her outfit, not her actual boxing coverage.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. That's horrible. That's horrible, man. But, yo, this is, you know, thing that we've been waiting for. It's, you know, the your biggest fight of the year. And
calm down. All right, listen. Wilder versus Ortiz was the
in the heavyweight division. Oh, come on, man. Stop it. this is the most pivotal fight in the heavyweight division in probably the past 10 years. It's going to
shape.
Yes. Yes, the past 10 years, man. I'm telling you. You got a lot of pressure on both fighters, man.
No pressure on Ruiz.
Yeah, Andy.
No pressure on
Ruiz. There's pressure on Ruiz, my man. In the first fight on June 1st.
Mike Grady, if you can hear this, please call in. Please call in, Mike Grady. We got to jump this dude, man. Mike Grady, if you're listening, please call in right now,
man.
Mike Grady.
This ain't no handicap match.
It's time for the Rockers to double team you.
Oh, man, Now the head shrinkers can't come in here and jump. Yo, Andrew Ruiz, he came off of his fight that he had, you know, not that long after, didn't have that much of a layoff. Before he fought Anthony Joshua on June 1st, so he was, you know, pretty much in game shape there, you know. It wasn't even 2 months after He fought and defeated Alexander Demetrenko. And he was able to, quote-unquote, shock the world when he defeated Anthony Joshua by TKO to win fight championships. And now, here we are 6 months later, and the rematch is now upon us. Both teams have had full camps in, you know, their respective training facilities, you know, over in their gym before they came over to Diriyah and saw the facilities there. And, you know, both fighters are ready to go. You know, there's, like I said, I mean, a lot of questions for both fighters. Is Andy Ruiz going to be able to execute the same things that he did in the first fight? Being able to, you know, use those fast hands, throw three, four punch combinations against Anthony Joshua. Is Anthony Joshua going to, you know, continue with his same approach that he had in those first couple of rounds where, you know, he kind of like stayed back, threw the jab, you know, kept his distance away from Andy Ruiz. And then when he was able to stand, you know, in good range, he was able to throw the combination and then knock down Andy Ruiz before he tried to follow up with a counterpunch to the temple, which knocked out his whole equilibrium from that point on en route to Andy Ruiz scoring a TKO victory. So now we got to see if both of these, you know, fighters are going to be able to make adjustments during the fight. It's also going to, you know, put a spotlight on the trainers on both sides. Yeah, Manny Robles on the side of Andy Ruiz there that, you know, was very, you know, very happy with the performance. You know, I was, you know, able to interview him after that particular fight, and he was, you know, probably, you know, I would say as happy as Andy Ruiz was for that particular win. And then on the other side, you have Rob McCracken. A lot of people were praising Rob McCracken up until that particular point, building up Anthony Joshua to have him be able to win those heavyweight championships before this particular fight took place. And then after that loss, a lot of people questioned Rob McCracken. So now this is another fight here where a lot of eyes will be on Rob McCracken if Anthony Joshua is or deals with some issues during this particular fight. So a lot of questions all across the board for the fighters and the trainers going into this big fight on December 7th. For those unified heavyweight championships there. And I know that Matt has a lot on the line. He's putting his faith and his hope and his dream that Andy Ruiz will come out victorious.
Yes!
On Saturday. I think for this week, folks, he has changed his bed sheets. You will not see Deontay Wilder bed set over in Matt's abode. It will be a big old face of Andy Ruiz Jr. with his smile and that little goatee of his.
Eating a Snickers bar.
Going around with those big cars and everything like that, what was that show called? Oh man, somebody sent me the link of that show that he was on. Where they were doing that special on him or something like that. So
we're talking about Jimmy Kimmel.
Not Jimmy Kimmel. Not the interview with Jimmy Kimmel, man. I'm talking about that. Oh, Dank City. What the heck that is?
I ain't never hear that.
Yo, that thing's on YouTube, man. Yeah, so that's the thing that I'm kind of, you know, interested in seeing, is that if Andy Ruiz is able to, you know, go through all of the initial appearances, interviews, and the trips and everything like that, making the purchases that he was able to make from his initial agreement with that, what was that, around $7 million or so that he got for the first fight, and, you know, kind of like following that up with saying, like, hey, I mean, yo, even though I got this $7 million and I was able to win and get the belts, and I'm just so blessed for this opportunity. Oh, man, I'm so thankful to Anthony Joshua. Now we're going to see if he's going to be able to follow that up with another performance and win against Anthony Joshua in the rematch.
Yes. He will. He will. It's been written in the stars. The boxing gods have spoken. Anthony Joshua has been a fraud. He's been exposed. And this is going to be the end of Anthony Joshua. The first fight was what Buster Olney of Major League Baseball would call the last of the Yankee dynasty. The first fight was the last of the Matchroom dynasty. You're going to see Anthony Joshua get beat again, and then you're going to see his whole company, Matchroom, are going to fold. All of them. We're sending them all back. Get out of our country. Eddie Hearn, Dillian White, Caleb Smith, all of the blokes, Frack, everybody, all of you guys. All of you guys.
Wait.
The American takeover.
Wait a minute. Frack ain't even part of the whole thing. Maybe you're talking about dead ears.
The Americans are back on top of the world. You're going to see Andy Ruiz beat Anthony Joshua. You're going to see Deontay Wilder beat Tyson Fury. And then for all the marbles, Cinco de Mayo 2020, you will see Andy Ruiz versus Deontay Wilder for the undisputed heavyweight. God bless America. God bless America and no place else.
Oh, come on, man. Like, look, only thing I would see with Andy Ruiz, man, he would have to blitz Anthony Joshua, man. He's gonna have
to. But tell me how can Anthony Joshua beat him? Explain to me how Anthony, like, what happened in the first fight that makes you think Anthony Joshua could win this second fight? Because I don't see it.
You don't think that he's gonna be able to control the distance against Andy Ruiz like he did in
the
first three rounds?
First time. He couldn't control the
distance. Okay. Okay. Okay.
12-round fight.
12-round fight, but it's not going to go 12 rounds. Reese is going to get stopped.
Oh, come
Reese
on.
Reese is going to get
on.
Stopped, buddy. He's going to get stopped.
Man.
Come on. You know it.
How is Anthony
I
Joshua
know it.
Gonna deal with the,
hand the whole team? World knows it, and there will be, for the second time, the WBA, IBF, WBO, and IBO heavyweight champion of the world, Anthony Joshua.
So explain to me how he's going to deal with Andy Ruiz's hand speed, please.
Andy Ruiz's hand speed, he's going to time that hand speed, man.
Oh, my God. Joshua's not a good boxer.
Oh.
He's not a good boxer.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Look, if Joshua was not a good boxer, he would not get to this point. He would have not gotten to the point that he got to.
Giuseppe.
You're talking about he's not a good boxer.
Giuseppe.
No. You're talking about Giuseppe. He's not a good boxer. But
first of all,
when we say that Wilder is not a good boxer, you say, hey.
He should have got
nope.
stopped versus Klitschko. He was flopping around the ring like a dead fish. He should have got stopped. Okay, they allowed them to continue. This is all been set up from the beginning. This guy's a fraud, JR. He's a fraud.
Come on, man. Nope. He's not. No, he was able to at least step up and get the belts one by one and earn his way. Charles Martin, oh, don't bring up Charles Martin, buddy. Come on, man, because, hey, your boy could have fought Charles Martin, but Al Heyman was like, nah, I don't think so.
Charles Martin?
Help me out here. How was Anthony Joshua able to get a fight with Charles Martin, who was a Heyman guy, and Deontay Wilder couldn't do that?
$6 million. That's how.
Nah, it ain't just $6 million. So you mean to tell me? Wait, you mean to tell me?
You were saying? I'm listening. Let's hear this. Let's hear this revision.
So you mean to tell me that Al Heyman would allow Charles Martin to go into a one-sided contract with Anthony Joshua with the IBF title on the line?
For $6 million, yeah.
A one-way contract?
Yo, where was the rematch clause?
There wasn't one.
Exactly. $6 million.
Okay,
buddy.
So come on, man. You mean to tell me that a guy that just wins a heavyweight championship in his next fight goes into a voluntary defense against
$6 million,
JR? Doesn't have. Come on, man.
$6 million.
Come on, man. He walks the earth like a god, man. You mean to tell me? So he couldn't get more than $6 billion to fight Deontay Wilder?
No, not at that time.
Well, then, if he was able to go and what if he, I mean, you could have just had him defend the IBF title against the likes of Ortiz Spilka, Dominic Brazil,
he wouldn't have made $6 million.
He would have.
At the end of the day, Al Heyman does what is best for his fighters, both short term and long term. You're going to tell me that Charles Martin should have turned down $6 million? Charles Martin was never going to see that money throughout his career. This was his chance to make it rich and set up his family for life. He had to take it. Come on, man.
Shut up his family. Nah, he didn't. What family
on,
he
man.
Set up? He pretty much blew his money. He blew.
Hey, man.
He blew that money on. He blew that money on weed.
Well, pussy is very expensive, JR. Can I tell you? It's happening, man.
Oh, man. But come on, yo. Like, yo. Charles Martin, man. Come on. But on the real though, man, like this is going to be, you know, a good little match between Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be another fight of the year candidate.
No.
Oh man, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God.
It's going to
be
great.
You're going to be highly disappointed.
I'll be highly disappointed if Anthony Joshua just blows him out to a boring decision win. Yeah, I would be disappointed if that happens. Because then
Ruiz is going to massacre this dude, man. You got to understand something. Joshua is screwed up mentally. Okay, Ruiz beat the fight out of him. This dude has nothing for Ruiz, man. I'm telling you. telling you, that's nothing for him.
He's gonna massacre this dude. Joshua's gonna beat him, and the fight's gonna be stopped. And it's gonna be sad, man. It's gonna be sad for Reese.
We'll
I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be a classic, so that there's a third fight, and Reese could get paid one more time. Then we have a third fight, and Joshua will win the third fight.
Ain't gonna be no third fight if Joshua wins. You know that. You know these British guys like to take their victory and run with it. Ain't gonna be no third fight.
Oh, you mean like Canelo Alvarez?
What are you talking about?
Or Leo Santa Cruz? Or Leo Santa Cruz? Those guys are British too.
What Canelo did? Tell me what Canelo did, man. Don't ever talk about Canelo. Hold on. Why now you getting out of hand? Don't ever talk about Canelo. Canelo's a boxing guy.
Listen, yo. Canelo said, yo, I got the win over Golovkin. Yo, fuck that dude.
That's a different situation. That's a different situation, man.
Oh man, yo. He said, "Yo, I'm tired of Golovkin, man. He tried to hustle me for a couple more million dollars. Yo, screw him." I might go back into that, because there's like a little bit of a issue going on between Canelo Alvarez and Golden Boy Promotions in reference to that particular subject. But Saturday, man, you got that going on, and then you got two of Matt's favorite fighters in action. Alexander Povetkin.
Yo, unbelievable.
Versus Michael Hunter. And then his second favorite fighter below Deontay Wilder, it'll be Dillon Whyte back in the ring.
Unbelievable.
Just various walk. Oh, God. Oh, it's going to be so great. It's going to be great. Oh, Dillon White is going to score a knockout. Highlight reel knockout.
I hope he loses.
Yo, if he does lose, though, I will have my ass off. But, yo, UK is like one of the screwiest anti-doping agencies ever. You mean to tell me they can't even return a B sample? But this is the same organization that had Eric Molina under suspension, and he was still able to fight Dominic Brazil.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And Eric Molina's on his card, too, by the way.
Yes, he is.
Yo, Eddie Hearn don't give a fuck. I respect it.
So
Eddie Hearn don't give a fuck about nobody.
Yo, that's my guy.
I respect him.
Yo,
that
doesn't give a fuck. He's like, yo, oh, I'm here to make money. I'm here to fill out this fight card. I'm here to make money. Yo, who cares? Everybody cheats.
Yo,
like Bobby Hinton said.
Yo,
you can
else,
win,
man.
Sometimes lose, but always cheat.
Something else.
Oh,
man.
This is gonna be great. Oh, Philip Hergovich is gonna knock Molina out. Oh, there's gonna be some knockouts, buddy. It's gonna be some knockouts. Oh boy. Oh, did they? Damn. I think they took out that fight. Didn't Oh man. Who was the dude that fought? John O'Carroll was supposed to be on this card. They scrapped it.
John O'Carroll.
Yeah.
Man, nobody gives a damn about no John O'Carroll. Nobody gives a damn.
Yeah. I think he was. I guess he got scrapped for like Dylan White. And who was this dude? Oh man. Muhammad Rasul Majidov. I guess he took his place. They don't even have a picture of him on BoxRec. They got one of the blank face pics.
Some of these dudes don't really exist, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he must not exist, man. he's from Azerbaijan. Oh man, this is gonna be great. Oh man, three filler fights, then Dylan White against Marius Wach, Philip Hergovich against Eric Molina for the international heavyweight. Hold on. Philip Hergovich against Eric Molina is for the WBC International Heavyweight Championship.
What does that mean?
Man.
What do you got?
I guess they will try to put Philip Hergovich in the top 5 or 6 if he wins. I don't know. But
maybe he could be the mandatory that replaces Dillian White after Dillian gets convicted of PED use.
No, because here's the thing: it doesn't matter if he gets convicted or not. The WBC already made the ruling, so which is very interesting to say the least, because that makes a certain person that we both know. His prediction might not be true at all, if that's the case. But yeah, you got Hergovich against Molina for that WBC International Championship. Povetkin against Hunter. Povetkin's gonna he's gonna have that .0007. Nana Grimm's in its system.
They're in Saudi Arabia anyway.
Huh?
They're in Saudi Arabia anyway, so they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny about being in Saudi Arabia? They might get killed if they take PEDs. You can't take drugs in Saudi Arabia.
You can't take drugs.
They better be careful. You test positive, you'll make it home. You'll make it home.
You get stoned. Yo.
Yep.
Somebody get stoned, man.
You'll
Eric
make
Molina.
It home.
Yo, Eric, yo, Dylan White, Eric Molina, yo, Povetkin, y'all better read and reread everything that you take.
Yeah, because
if you test positive
in Saudi Arabia.
Yo, you're not going to make it out. I don't know if her is going to be able to save him here.
Exactly.
Oh, that's going to be... Oh, this is going to be funny, man. It's going
to
be funny.
No, but you know
but
what's
man,
funny about this? I need to call you out on something as it pertains to this particular fight card, JR. Explain to me how anybody that is putting on this event is going to make money. The Saudis are going to lose so much money because the fight is not close to selling out, JR. Whenever Deontay Wilder fights, you always want to talk about who's losing money, someone's going to be in the red. Why don't I hear you with this same energy when it pertains to this fight right here?
Well, what are you talking about here? Most of that money has already been put up front.
Yeah, but aren't the Saudis going to lose money in their investment in Joshua? They're not going to make it back, right? Don't you care about
What is the investment that they're making?
Aren't they paying a huge fee to bring the fight there?
A site fee? What is that, 20 million?
Yeah. Who knows?
A $20 million. A $20 million site fee. Hold on. What were the ticket prices looking like? Especially up front. What were they looking like?
I don't fact check. I just know
that
they are not close to selling out. And you love to talk about who's going to lose money on the Deontay Wilder fight. So why are you not talking about who's losing money on this fight?
Because the fight hasn't happened yet, for one. That's one. Second, let's see how many comps they're going to be able to give out for this particular fight.
Wait. You think the Saudi commission is going to release an official report?
Yo, what I'm telling you, dog, yo, maybe Eddie Hearn's going to buy the rest of the team. Hey, especially since not that many women will be able to show up. we could get Kelly to go. We could get Kimberly to go.
Nope.
We could get your girl. What's her name?
Nope.
We could fly her over to go.
Damn, man.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, man. I can't wait. Like I don't understand this, man. Like, they have this fight card. It's gonna be around the afternoon over here in the U.S.
Or who's gonna win between Povetkin and Hunter?
Hunter, I don't know with Hunter, man, because I was disappointed in him in his last fight. That was at the theater, Hulu Theater in Madison Square Garden. I thought he should have been, very impressive against Sergey Kuzmin. Kuzmin, to me, came into that particular fight, really, really chubby and overweight. Couldn't really move that well in the ring. But he was able to catch Michael Hunter a couple times with some good power shots. And if he was able to follow up with those power shots, he would have had Michael Hunter in some real trouble. So, so Alexander Povetkin, depending on how much he got in the system or whatever it is, if he's still game, he might be able to trick Michael Hunter and get a win here. Shoot. but I don't know. That Povetkin Yui Fury fight. Oh, my God. That was horrible.
Horrible.
Oh man, so hey, maybe you know, maybe Upper Beckham will not be able to have enough energy to keep up with Michael Hunter. I don't know, but I will say this. Wait, actually, hold on. Let's see, can I see things here? I would have said that the winner would face a certain guy in the heavyweight division later on down the line, but they're already setting up a fight for that guy. So I don't see it happening between the winner of Povetkin and Hunter and Oleksandr Usyk, because they're setting up Usyk to fight Derek Chisora. So yeah, that's out of the cards. But I don't see what would be out there for the winner of this particular fight, though. You know what I mean? That could be. Yeah, that's a good little possibility. Reba should be in the ring against somebody, though, man. I mean, it is what it is against Dillian Whyte, but hey,
he's got to get
in the ring.
He's close to signing with Matchroom, so he'll be in the mix.
What?
He's close to signing with Matchroom.
Man, so he's going from Top Rank to Matchroom.
Yep.
Damn. Seems like we're having a good amount of people in the heavyweight division switching up, promotional companies around here over the past 12 months or so. I mean, you got your boy Jarrell Miller dealing with Jay Prince now.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, good luck to him. Jarrell Miller is removed from all the rankings. So I wonder who he's going to fight to get back in the rankings.
I'm hearing he's fighting in January in New Jersey.
Yeah, it's possible he can fight in New Jersey. Man, maybe he can fight that Dempsey McCain guy. I don't know. It's gonna be somebody that we've never heard of, and it's gonna be if they make that into a main event, the main event of a card, I'm gonna be wait a minute. What if they don't have him with he's not still with what's his name?
Salida.
He's not with Salida.
Is he
still with him?
But he's not with Cohen because Cohen's going to jail. Nobody's been talking about that either. The promoter,
man.
Greg Cohen's going to jail for wire fraud.
Greg Cohen's good. Yo, he trying to steal. He's stealing money. Oh, man, it's horrible, man. Hey, oh, man, so, man, he might be in that car with Clarissa Shields then, right? Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's
it was fine. Like, yeah, because that's, she's also with Salida as well, so that's the thing. So, yeah, that's going to be it. And, good luck to Big Baby Miller on that, man. He's got to, work his way back up, man. They'll have to send a 7th card in Saudi Arabia. It's going to be funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then later on down the line, they're going to have, Barclays Center, man. Like, I don't understand this one, man. I mean, Blind's only, how does the Charlo brothers, get into you know, this thing to promote, and it's going to be at the Barclays Center, man. Jamal Charlo against Dennis Hogan. WBC middleweight title on the line. Dennis Hogan got
robbed.
When's
that fight happening?
Huh?
When is that fight happening?
What, Charlo Hogan?
Yeah.
That's Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Oh, shit. I forgot all about that.
Yo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. I got my rejection letter a couple days ago.
Wow.
Yes. Yep. And then you got Chris Eubank Jr. in the co-feature against Matt Korobov. Yo, man.
I got to check the map on this one. I got to count the dots.
Yo, this is supposed to be at the Barclays. Yo, hold on, man. All right. We're taking a time out at the Boxing Source Radio Show for a segment we call Count the Dots.
Don't bother. Ain't no dots. They're not allowing the dots on this map.
What? Hold on.
Oh, wait. I'm mistaken. Sorry, Al Heyman. Let me see. Let me count these. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. All right.
Oh, this can't be good.
We cannot take time out to count the dots because it would be next week's show by the time I finish counting all these dots. They are. This is not good.
So that means we're gonna have
we're gonna have
the whole upper level and the mid level closed for this particular card.
Yeah. I might have to go to this one.
Hey, yo, if you go, man, it's gonna be $3.99.
Yeah, I might have to go to this one. I might be able to get up in there for like $5.
You might get a full seat.
Yeah. Yo, this. Oh, shit. I forgot this fight was going on, man. Damn. And I like Charlo, too, but. Wow. Either 200 is sold out or they ain't ever make tickets available for it. What you think?
And I think they closed it, man. I think they closed it.
Damn.
I seriously think they closed it, man. Yo,
I'm gonna go to StubHub.
Good. Like I didn't
resell tickets on there because Ticketmaster is running the event.
Yep. They're running the event in. Come on, like nosebleeds usually for these type of events like $50 on Ticketmaster.
And, $39
oh
for the 100 row. $39.
What?
For the 100 row.
Oh no. Oh yeah, 100 row. Oh my God. Yeah, they are
$39.
Nice. Yeah, that whole 200 section is closed.
Yeah, it's not on StubHub.
Yeah, it's got to be closed, dude. Let's see, 100. Oh my God, 100 plus. 80, 100 plus. Yeah, it's gonna. Hold on, how much are these tickets here? 100 hit this level, man. Oh, gosh. Oh, $147. No fees offered. Yo.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yo. He said it had no fees. For another ticket. So it's just $39. Oh no!
Yeah, man.
Yeah, bro. You're gonna, yo. You should be able to get in there for free. $99.
They should have put this card in Saudi Arabia.
Even then, that would be horrible. Oh, jeez. Yo. Oh, man. And hold up. Isn't he supposed to be? Wait, he isn't included in this thing. Hold up. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
There you see. Yo.
Yo,
wait
I
a
got
minute.
Some breaking news from the world of boxing.
Hey, a boy supposed to be part of that card too, man. Kobe and Soul Jabrini is supposed to be part of that card, man.
Well, what's up with Coach Floyd? Why he ain't called?
I don't know, man. He should have called, man.
Is Coach Floyd going to the fight?
He's going to the fight. Stop it. Oh, jeez. Yo. Say the, yo, spit the news that you were going to say, man. Oh, God.
Yo, your favorite Facebook reporter, Rick Glaser, has just broke the news that someone named Tony Pro killed Jimmy Hoffa. Somehow Rick knows. I don't know why he's going to Facebook. You know, what the fuck is going on? How does Rick Glaser know who killed Jimmy Hoffa?
I don't know, man. man, I don't know, bro. I don't know. Man, this event here, Charlo Rogan, man, like, I don't understand it, man. Like, you got this going on, and then 2 weeks later, you know, Jermell Charlo is fighting Tony Harrison in the rematch over in in California? Man, not even, I don't think it's even in Los Angeles. My goodness.
No,
I don't understand
Ontario,
this thing. Yeah, Ontario, California. Like,
whatever the hell
why?
That is.
Like, why, man? Why? Like,
well, apparently, it's going to do big business out there, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Your
what's
boy Ontario? Charles Martin is going to be part of that card.
Hey, man. He's a ticket seller.
Yeah, he moves tickets. Andre Durrell is gonna be on that card. Effie Ajagba is gonna be there. Yeah, Effie Ajagba is going up against Iago Calazde.
That's a good Calazde.
Man, I don't know, man. Calazde is gonna get sparked. Yo, Ajagba should be fighting Martin next year, man. They're going to have to start pushing Ajagba, man. I think that next year they're going to. Why not? people are trying to push Joe Joyce. I mean, Joe Joyce has pretty much the same amount of fights.
He's only 25.
Ajagba's
25 years old. Do not rush him. He's only 25.
Oh, man. Oh, they're going to have to, do a few things with them and stuff like that. So, we'll see what happens there with that one. And then on the 28th, you got Gervonta Tank Davis going up against Yuriorkis Gamboa over in Atlanta. I want to go down there for that, though, man. I want to go down there for that fight. You know, it should be a good little turnout for that. good little turnout for that. That co-feature bout with John Pascal and Battle Jack. We're going to see if John Pascal could get the money that he needs to pay off 50 Cent. I don't know. Wait a minute. Hold up. Jeff Horn is fighting him on the 18th. Wait, what? What? Oh, no. It's a rematch. Oh, my God. They're going to have a rematch. Oh, no. Yo. Jeff Ward and Michael Zaroff are having a rematch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on, man. Wait. So he asked for a rematch against Michael Zaroff, but he won't rematch Manny Pacquiao. He asked for a rematch against Terrence Crawford. So I guess he only grants rematches after he only wants a rematch after he loses. that's hilarious, man. That's gonna be in the middle of the week on the 18th. Oh goodness, but man. But yeah, December is gonna have some good fights, man. Good fights out there. Like I said, we got It's Saturday coming up. Next Saturday, you got Terrence Crawford against Kavalioskis. He's going to wash him. But you got Richard Comey against Teofimo Lopez. And don't sleep on that fight. Don't sleep on that fight, man. I mean, Teofimo, you said the takeover. You say it's a takeover,
yep.
But hey, man. Man, I don't know.
Can't wait, man.
I know that Comey is going to be ready to go.
I hope he is.
He'll be ready to go for that one, boy. That's going to be a nice one, real nice on that joint, man. Hey, that's something I'm looking forward to, that particular bout, man. But, that's pretty much everything there. But wanted to get back into this thing with El Campeón. Canelo Alvarez. So apparently there is some little back and forth between Canelo Alvarez and Golden Boy Promotions because that Canelo got with DAZN.
Yeah,
there was like a little bit of a caveat to that, supposedly. Whether it was disclosed or, discussed between DAZN and Golden Boy Promotions, or it was discussed between DAZN and Gennady Golovkin, that they wanted to have Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin on DAZN so that there would be a third fight between the two.
Yep.
I guess they didn't get the memo before they signed Canelo Alvarez, but Canelo Alvarez, after the second fight, said, fuck Gennady Golovkin. I'm not going to fight Gennady Golovkin again. Y'all can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Y'all can sign him for whatever deal y'all want to, but I'm not fighting Gennady Golovkin. Not today, not tomorrow, not next year, not 2 years from now, not 10 years from now. I'm fighting Gennady Golovkin.
Does he look here anymore?
Oh, I know he shouldn't. Not just because he already won, but because Gennady Golovkin always wants a freaking handout.
All the time.
And I'm sick of it. Like, I don't like how he's able to be handed things on a silver platter and not have to earn a damn thing. it took him, it almost like you almost need to pull teeth from him in order for him to fight Daniel Jacobs. Then he wouldn't fight Billy Joe Saunders before the nasal spray.
Yep.
Then he claimed that he beat Canelo Alvarez in the first fight, whatever. He was able to get the rematch, but he wanted to get like almost a near 50-50 split for the rematch. Hell no. Then he got his ass schooled in the rematch. And now he wants to fight Canelo again and not fight anybody with a pulse before that fight happens. That's why I was like, I wanted Sergey Derevyanchenko to just beat that dude just so we wouldn't have to hear from him ever again.
Yep.
Because the first fight he had when he signed with DAZN was against Steve Rose. How was that any different than when he fought Willie Monroe, when he fought Dominic Wade.
Dominic Wade, Curtis
Murray, Curtis Stevens, Adama Osumanu, Marco Antonio Rubio. Like, come on, man. And now, after getting this win against Sergey Derevyanchenko, where Derevyanchenko was the IBF mandatory, Golovkin does the same thing that he used to do when he held the titles before. When it's a mandatory that nobody has heard about, that is basically fought no one, he's like, oh, go ahead. Yeah, I want to fight him. Camille Cesaromeda, yeah, let me fight him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me fight him. But when he didn't have any belts and he could have fought Demetrius Andrade for the WBO title, he didn't want to do that. When he could have fought Jermall Charlo, he didn't want to do that. He was like, no, I don't want any parts of that. But Camille Cesaromeda, yeah, that's a good boy. He good boy. Yeah, he good boy. Like, come on, man. So
I don't care nothing about Golovkin no more, man. I'm good.
Yeah.
Who gives a damn about Golovkin?
Like, I don't see why, like, people even try to protect Golovkin in that particular instance, because he hasn't, like I said, he hasn't really done anything for me that's been anything, you know, that's been remotely impressive to me, you know. So there is that. Bob Arum says that Tyson Fury's cut is completely healed. Yeah, I don't know about all that. That was a big cut there, buddy.
I hope so.
Yeah, that was a big cut there. You have, I don't know, they have this dank thing with Liam Williams against Alante Fox for a title eliminator.
Nobody cares.
It's supposed to be, yeah, nobody cares that much about that, because either way, either fighter will lose to Demetrius Andrade, just like Alante Fox lost to Andrade earlier.
Exactly.
Cecilia Brakus won her fight against someone that moved up to fighter. Clarissa Shields talked about that fight in her live on IG. Hope y'all caught that. Because folks talk about Brakus fighting Clarissa Shields. That Clarissa Shields ain't going down any further than 154. And Brakus don't even want to do that. So it is what it is.
And that's crazy. There was at 160.
Yep.
She was at 147. Why can't they meet in the middle? I don't get it.
Yeah, Brakus don't want to go up to 154. She just don't want to do it. They should just have Serrano move up to 147 and fight Breakers.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Katie Taylor wants to fight Serrano at this particular point. I don't see that happening.
She doesn't.
Yeah.
It would have happened by now if she wanted to.
Yeah. It would have happened there. So.
Yeah, whatever.
So, you missed that. And what was it? Solane Tate got washed in 3 rounds.
He got blued up.
By John
that
Will
boy
Casimiro.
Got to hell.
I was like, he got blasted.
Yeah,
so Casimiro's the new champion, WBO champ. We could have had Tate against Inoue, but nope, that's not gonna happen now. And Joshua Greer Jr. Is talking trash, and he wants to fight Casimiro for that belt. So we'll see if he'll be able to bring that pillow.
Took a Zach kick too.
Yeah, because, man.
His last few fights.
Yeah, but Grant, he hasn't been that impressive over the past couple of fights that he's had. He's got a little bit of work to do in reference to all that. So, that, pretty much does, everything that I could possibly cover here in this particular instance of the Boxing Source Radio Show. We're going to be ready to go December 8th. To talk about the results of the Unified Heavyweight Championship fight.
Yep.
Where things will be back in order.
Oh, come on.
And I will have a steak dinner waiting for me. We'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens.
Before you end the show, can we run through all your official picks? I'll name the fights, and you tell us who you're picking.
All right.
Let's start. Emmanuel Navarrete versus Francisco Horta.
Navarrete.
All right. What about Jermaine Encajas versus Miguel Gonzalez?
That could be pretty good, but I'm picking in Cajas.
All right. Chris Eubank Jr. versus Matt
Korobov. Ooh, that's good. Ooh.
Ooh.
Why do I feel that's going to be a trap? But I'm picking Eubank.
All right. Charlo versus Hogan.
Charlo.
Holy shit, David Lemieux is coming back this week. Oh, I didn't know that. how about Dillian White versus Marius Wach?
Dillian White.
And
shout out to that fake Boxing Kingdom account.
Officially, who you're picking, Povetkin versus Hunter?
Hunter.
And the granddaddy of them all. For the listeners, Anthony Joshua versus Andrew Ruiz Jr., who are you picking, JR?
Anthony Joshua.
Wow. I was hoping you would change your mind, but
I got to take your money. That's what you think. It's wishful thinking, my friend, but... I'll be waiting for that succulent steak dinner. I can't wait. And on that note, folks, that is the end of the December 1st episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show. Be sure to catch the sister shows on the Go Long Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. And catch the podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Or Anchor.fm, whatever you use for your favorite podcast app, it'll be on there. And like I said, at the end of every show, folks, the point of boxing is to hit and not get hit. Like, you don't want to get hit like Solana Tete did against Jean-Rio Casemiro. Not to say the trade. On that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good evening, everybody.
Bomb squad, baby.